We again want to just welcome every one of you into the house of the Lord today. We are just so blessed by your being here. We are so blessed that we've gathered together today to lift the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, high. Amen? Amen. And that is why we're here together today. Over the past several years, my wife Sherry and I have been blessed to make friendships across the borders of this nation. One of those greatest friendships that we've developed is with Pastor Octavio and Sylvia Torres, who are here today. And in just a moment, I'm going to introduce the entire group. Well, in fact, I'll have Octavio, would you please come up here today? Well, we're preaching from down here today, and that's good. Let's do that. Pastor Octavio, we just are so blessed to have you with us today. Again, we made friends and acquaintances when we traveled with Pastor Pete's church from Middletown. We went down to Mexico. We've been down there. I know Sherry and Sarah have been down there on at least two occasions, as have I. We've just been blessed by your ministry down there. We've been so privileged to partner with you when we come down there. And we are so blessed to have you with us today, Pastor Octavio. So would you, before we're going to welcome you, and we'll have a warm welcome for all of you, but would you please introduce the guests that are with us today?
Thank you. Yes. Buenos dias a todos. Buenos dias. Buenos dias. ¿Hablan español? ¿Sí habla español? Un poquito. Un poquito, okay. Yo hablo un poquito inglés, okay? Okay, I want to introduce this morning to my wife that is here with me. Por favor, párate, mi vida. She had a word for you this morning.
Okay. Buenos días.
Good morning.
Tú vas atrás. He estado orando al Señor por ustedes.
I've been praying for all of you.
Y el Señor me ha dado una palabra para compartirles.
And God has given me a word to share with you.
Que está en Génesis 12, versículo 2.
It's Genesis 12, verse 2.
Y dice, haré de ti una nación grande y te bendeciré.
And it says, I will make you a great nation and I will bless you.
Y engrandeceré tu nombre.
I will make your name in high.
Y serás bendición.
And you will be a blessing.
Y esta es una respuesta.
And this is an answer.
Para aquellos que han estado orando al Señor.
For those that have been praying to the Lord.
Diciendo, ¿cuál es mi propósito, Señor?
Asking him, what is my purpose in life, Lord?
¿Qué es lo que quieres que yo haga?
What do you want me to do?
Y el Señor te dice esta mañana.
And God tells you this morning.
Yo te he hecho una bendición.
I've been make you a blessing for
y
the people around
de ti,
you. And to you,
voy a bendecir a mucha gente.
I will bless a lot of people.
Así que comienza a cumplir tu propósito.
So start walking in your purpose.
Comienza a bendecir.
Start blessing.
Y verás la bendición multiplicada sobre ti.
And you will see a multiplied blessing over your life while you're blessing others.
No pienses que por no estar aquí enfrente predicando o cantando.
Don't think that you're not here in a platform singing or preaching.
No eres tan valioso para Dios.
You're not as valuable to God.
Quiero decirte esta mañana de parte de Dios.
I want to tell you from God
que eres muy valioso,
that you are very valuable
y que te ha escogido
and he has chosen
para bendecir.
You to be a blessing
Él
to
ha
others.
Dado una orden
he has given
de bendecir
an order
a tu familia,
to bless your family,
de bendecir a tus compañeros
to bless
de trabajo y de
your
escuela.
Partners in a job and or school.
Y no puede ser revocada.
And that cannot be stopped.
So tú eres una bendición.
Revoke. So you can be a blessing because the Lord is making you a blessing.
Créelo.
Believe in that.
Tú eres una bendición.
You are a blessing.
Gracias por permitirnos estar aquí.
Thanks for allowing us to be here this morning. Conmigo está... I'm sorry, I started speaking in Spanish. Okay. Here is today with us, we have a couple that they work with us in a ministry. And they're my friends. We're coming out once a year on vacation together just to fellowship and just to enjoy. And they wanted to come this time with us. So I want to introduce them with you. His name is Jaime. Jaime. Mm-hmm. And Patty, his wife. And they work with us in a ministry. They are they in charge of the elderly ministry.
Yes.
Yeah, we have a ministry that we call Double Honor. That is people over 75 years old. That we have a special teaching and activities for them once a week, and they're in charge of that ministry. So it's an honor to be here. Pastor, thank you for the trust to be in your pulpit. I know you're very jealous about who's preaching here. And, well, you took the risk. Now leave it. I hope you're not too nervous this morning.
I'm not nervous at all. And we just want to say welcome. We are blessed. And we are waiting to hear what God has laid on your heart for Life Tree Church. Amen.
Thank you.
Pastor Octavio.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
I just want to add, I thought it was interesting that you interpreted for Sylvia. When I'm in Mexico, either Sylvia or your daughter Jessica will generally interpret for me.
Yeah.
But she speaks excellent English. She does.
Yes, yes.
But she will be interpreting for our friends that are here with us today as Octavio speaks. So we'll just say bless you. Okay, thank you.
Well, you're going to need an interpreter too, because I don't speak that well English, honestly. I'm going to try my best. I want to share a little bit about something that God put in my heart last night. And I really want to try to make myself simple and clear in a message, because you got to understand, my brain is thinking in Spanish and English at the same time, right? So it's kind of hard for me, like it happens before my initiative is to speak in Spanish. So if you hear me speaking in Spanish, raise your hand and say, stop it. I can understand. All right? And I will stop. I promise to you. I don't get mad to you. Okay? I want to go to the scripture in Exodus 13, verse 17. I love the life of Moses. Jesus is my favorite in the Bible. You know, I love him so much. You got to understand that before I became Christian, I was a very successful man in a hotel business in Cancun. I was the night shift manager over there. I worked for several years, and I really liked that job. I really wanted to increase in my career, and I was making a very good money. I had my house free of debt. I have a car free of debt. My family has everything they wanted, and why do I need Jesus if I was living a successful life? And the real thing is that I have a slavery mentality, even I was a very successful businessman. I was a cocaine addict, and I was an alcoholic too. I was a womanizer, and I have a lot of inconvenience. My wife, when she knew about I was having a relationship with another woman, she almost committed suicide, and God allowed me to stop her to doing it and convince me not to do it. And she's starting to attend the church because a neighbor very close to us saw all this discussion and all this, you know, yelling out and everything. And she's starting to share the gospel to my wife. So she's starting to attend the church. I believe in historic churches, I believe in independent churches, and I believe in the Church of Jesus. So, because Jesus said that even though people is preaching out of their pride, or their, I don't know the exact word that it says in the King James, but out of their discussion of the differences, the Church of Jesus and the gospel have to be all over the world. Am I right? So I believe in that. And when my wife received Jesus, she was attending a real extreme Baptist Orthodox church. Orthodox, that's the word. So I wasn't Christian, and I take care of my kids right outside of the church while she's learning all the troubles of Paul and all the troubles of Jesus, you know. But I never saw really a transformation in her life. She knew a lot about the Bible, and the Bible is the truth, and the truth will set us free. But it's the truth that is being revealed to your life to really make you free. Because if you don't understand the truth that is being preached, so how can you take that word for your life and live the life that Jesus is asking us to live? So it's not transformation. So she was doing it right. She was doing everything the pastor was asking her to do and everything. But it wasn't really a transformation in her character and her actions. Because Christian is not to attend a church. Christian is about the kingdom being revealed in our lives, and we became a new creatures. So as we are a new creature, we don't supposed to act the way we used to be before. Am I right? We don't supposed to think the way we're thinking before. We don't have the same attitudes and words. Like, for example, I know people that they're been in church for several years. Well, this happened in Mexico. I don't know, here in USA, so I never lived here. So I know a little bit of your culture. But in Mexico, I know a lot of people, they've been attending church for 10, maybe 15 years. And as soon as they get out, they got mad with someone who's driving like crazy and starting swearing, saying swears to these people. And, you know, like I saw this, you know, now today, a lot of kids, they put a lot of stuff on YouTube, right? And they were, some videos are very good. And they said about this guy who stopped in a traffic light, and then another car stopped behind him, and this guy starting to, how do you say that, to playing the horn, doing the horn, how do you do that? How do you say that? Beep the horn? Thank you. Honk? The honk. The honky ponky? The honk. Okay. So he was doing the honk. Did I say it right? Okay. I didn't speak like that, but I think I said it right. Okay? So anyway, he was doing the honk, and this guy that was in the front, he got mad. So he get out of the car and said, "What's going on with you? You want to go over? So drive a helicopter." I said, "I'm sorry, but I saw a sticker in your bumper that says, if you're a Christian, do the honk." So sometimes that happens, right? We come to the church, but we don't renew the spirit of our mind. We're still acting like in the past. And my wife, after a while, we changed to another city to live because I was in deep, deep troubles and with my addiction and everything. And even we changed to another city, God allowed me, because the skills that He trained me for in business, to do good business in that city too. So the money wasn't an issue to feel, how do you say, realized, or to feel that you're fulfilling your purpose in life as a husband, as a provider. So it was good for me, but I felt empty in my heart, and I felt loneliness in my heart, that is something was missing. So with the time we came back to Cancun, and my wife is being invited with the same friend who shared the gospel to her before to attend another church. And in this church, they starting to share the gospel to her. Not only to know the Bible, but to share the gospel to her. Because one thing is to know that it's 60 books on the Bible, and another thing is to live one scripture of the Bible. It makes the whole difference. So, in this scripture, in Exodus 13:17, it says, I'm going to read, I just got a new King James version this morning, so I'm going to read it the way I read. I like it more, this version. It says, "When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not let them on the road through the Philistine country, so that was shorter. For God says, if they face war, they might change their mind and return to Egypt." I don't know if we can put the scripture. No, there's no way to put the scripture over there. It's Exodus 13:17, if it's possible. So you got to understand that the people has been enslaved for 400 years. They live in slavery. They never had a decision. They couldn't have to take the decision to get a machine, to get a Coke, a cold Coke from the machine. They didn't have a chance to say, "I want to go to the cinema." They don't have a chance to go and say, "I want to spend some time with my family." They were in slavery. They were in bondages. And when you speak about slavery and bondages, someone who wasn't addicted like me knows what really is in this time. Maybe you don't have change. Maybe nobody's mocking you, but you know you're destroying your life, but for some reason you do the evil things you don't want to do, and you do it because it just do it. And you try to change, but something real hard in you push you to do what you don't want to do. And you can say, "Oh, come on, don't give me that excuse." But it's not an excuse. You know, your will is in bondage. You feel like you cannot leave that addiction. You feel like you don't have enough strength to leave that addiction. You know you're killing yourself. You have fun. You have this smile. You can snort 5 grams of cocaine every day. You can get drunk every night. You can be in a wild party jumping, hearing the music. You can even expose your body in a seat in a bar. You can, whatever you want, wild things you're planning to do or you're thinking you can do, let me tell you, when you are in bondage, sometimes you don't do it out of fun. You're doing it because you're being controlled. And your will is so controlled that you think that later you feel shame about it. And you want to change. Like my marriage wasn't raised. You know, I've been married 32 years with this woman. When I saw her the first time, I was 19 years old, and I saw her and I said, this woman is for me. I like her. I feel passion. I feel attracted to her. And I chase her. She can tell you the story later, because sometimes she say that I don't tell the story right. But I don't want to tell you the story. Okay? But I really follow her. I really try to meet her and to know her deeply. And when a month after she allowed me to be her boyfriend, I got married a month after that. And I've been married 32 years already. And I'm a very happy man. I don't know her, but I'm very happy. I really feel happy. So I didn't want to lose her. She is the woman of my life. And when I was in addiction, she was the woman of my life. I really love her. I have two childs, very beautiful daughters that I have, God has given to me. And I love them, and I really work hard for them. But for some reason, I make things that I had my marriage in risk. Because when you don't have the freedom and the authority that the Holy Ghost give you as a new creature, you've been controlled by your emotions, your passions, that Paul said that the evil passions. They call those passions an animal reactions. Because with all my respect, I don't know if this sounds rude for you, but it's like a dog when she saw a female dog and smell the pheromones, they're trying to do it, right? Men are like that. You see a woman in the bar, he just blinked the eyes and right? Some women are the same today. It's not make a difference today. Some women, they go to bars to pick up a man just because they want to have fun. I was in a mall 2 days ago, and I was trying to get some stuff, and this lady was speaking to me in this kind of very southern accent, you know, they speak like this, and eon now, it's words like that, you know, and I cannot easily understand what she was trying to explain to me. I'm sorry, I don't want to offend anybody, but you know, depending on the accent, the words, sometimes you cut it, you make it larger, and this makes it go like, I'm sorry, is anybody speaking Spanish here? So, this lady came, she's from Puerto Rico, and she speaks Spanish with me, and she knew what I wanted, etc., etc. But at the end, she told me, what are you looking for? And I said, well, I'm looking something specifically for my wife. I want something nice for her. I want to buy a Christmas present for her. And I want something nice, something different. Not too expensive, but not cheap either, right? Men's know what I'm talking about. We're not a cheap men's. We know what to give to our wives. So, some women are laughing. Oh, watch it, man. Watch it. Okay. So anyway, after I'm looking over there, she asked me, please explain this to me. My people from Puerto Rico, they know these details, but for some reason, they don't pay attention too much to their wives. And they're laughing. And here you come, Mexicans, and you sound like you take the details, and your wives are happy in their marriage, and you have a long marriages. How did this happen to you? Why this never happened to me as a woman who speaks Latin to, who speaks Spanish to? And I said, well, it doesn't happen often in Mexico either, right? Because men are men anywhere around the world. The only thing that changes is the color of the skin, but we still men. Am I right, men? Yes? So, what I told her, the difference is that I became Christian, that I know the gospel. Now I have respect for my wife. I try to make my wife be happy, because I know if she's happy, my leadership get established. I feel good in my leadership, because the leader is doing what he has to do, so their wives, they feeling protected, loved, attended, that you can have communication, and that make me feel good. That's what the gospel does. God take care of us in every detail of our lives and try to make us grow and move us step by step so we can get to the point we can be the men we've been created for or women's been created for. And that only happens when we're really committed to the gospel. Because to be committed, with all my respect, Pastor, to the church, that doesn't change lives. That make you a good servant or someone who works in a church. But the real commitment to the gospel, that's what makes us good sons of God and daughters of God. That really transform our lives so we can be happy. If you read this scripture, it says that God don't let them go on the road to the Philistine country. For God says if they face the war, they might change their mind. And God took around 2 million people. Rather to go straight and get sooner where he want to take them, he goes around with them because he don't want them to feel discouraged. Do they feel they cannot face that war? So I want here today to tell you, don't feel that you cannot face what you're dealing with. Because if God is allowing you to deal it, it's because you have the no strength to face it. Because it doesn't depend on you, because it's more powerful that lives in you that is out of the world. You know it. Sometimes you repeat it. But now is the time to live it in what you're dealing today. Because God is not going to allow you to deal something you don't have the strength to be conquered, to conquer with. God is allowing you to live this because he wants to make you a better person. When I became a Christian, you know, in my case, I don't know everybody's case, but in my case, my first question to the Lord is, why? I have everything a man needs to be happy. I have a beautiful woman. I make very good money. I have 2 beautiful daughters. No debt. I can get into a bar anytime without paying, you know, these places where you pay an entrance. I don't know how you call that. And I have this public relations card that allow me to get into the Hard Rock Cafe or to Daddy O's and all the stuff. I can do all that things. And why I feel so empty, like the life just passed by and something is missing. Why? And I didn't know. The ceiling didn't open. No shaking, no angel, no nothing. Honestly. I was expecting something that day that I make that question, right? But nothing happened. But the next Sunday, when my wife invited me again to go to the church, I decided, because it just came back to my mind, to go to the church. And that Sunday, this pastor was saying that the answer was Jesus for that emptiness. That I have a big hole in my heart the size of God, and even I can try to fill it with a lot of things, it will never be enough. So the only one who can fill that emptiness was Jesus. So I decided to give my life to Jesus. And when I was walking out of the church that morning, I had 2 grams of cocaine in my pocket, on my wallet. And I said, if I'm going to do this, I got to do it right. If not, why to waste my time? So when I came out of the church, that was the first time my wife knew I was a cocaine addict. Because I hid it for 2 or 3 years. And I took the cocaine out of my pocket and I threw it into a well that was outside of the church. And she asked me, what is that? I said, you didn't know, honey, but I use drugs. And she started weeping that day. Why we destroy ourselves when we have a God who can give us the effort to live a new life? Why are we living like orphans? Like it's not an answer. When we, as a church, we say we know we have an answer. Why we do all those things that we know we don't supposed to do just because everybody does, but the Bible says not to. Maybe you can say I'm crazy. I don't want you to think like one little girl asked to his father once, "Daddy, you were telling the truth or you were preaching?" And I'm telling you the truth, honestly. I only preach what I read and what the Bible teach me I have to do. Honestly. So don't tell yourself you cannot handle those things you're facing, because you have a mighty God that takes care of even those little things that you think you cannot face, but He will never allow you to face something can be bigger and stronger than you. If you go 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to a man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." So if we believe that Jesus has saved us, that we have eternal life, that we've been never delivered, that we've been delivered from the dark powers of evil, do you understand that you believe in a God you have never seen? I had a teaching with pastors and leaders a couple of weeks ago, and I told them this. "Do you really believe the Bible is the truth?" I say, "Yes." And I say, "Why? Do you understand that being Christian is out of the reason? Have you ever seen God?" I said, "No." "How can you believe someone you haven't seen yet? You were when God created the earth and the heaven and the light and all that?" I said, "Yes." "Why? You were there?" "Because it says in Acts 1:8 that when you receive the Holy Ghost, you will come a witness." "Witness of what?" "A witness is someone who saw something. So he can tell us that what he experienced and see to be a witness for, in case they ask them for." But I said, "You were there when God created the earth?" And everybody says, "No." "So what kind of witness are you?" And a guy said, I asked him, "You were there when Jesus died on the cross?" "No." And says, "Why do you believe that he died for your sins?" And this guy says, "Oh, because the Bible says so." And I said, "You were there when this man wrote the Bible? Are you sure that the Holy Ghost inspired them to write the Bible?" Said, "No." "How can you be a witness? How can you testify of something you have never seen?" And one pastor said, "Wow, you know, I've been in a seminary, I've been believing this, and I've been preaching for years, but really make you doubt about it. Can you understand what I'm saying?" He doubted in that moment. And one of the persons who was in the seminar, he said, "Okay, pastor, you're a preacher, you're teaching us. How can you be a witness? You were not there yet either." And I said, "That's right. But I'm a witness that God has changed me, that He visited me. I don't feel empty no more. I don't feel sad no more. I'm not being domained by the destructive life that I've used to have. Now I have a better life. And nobody can tell me I do it by myself, because I tried several times. I couldn't do it. But Jesus did it in me. And now I'm a great witness. Now I can testify that the Lord is real. That the Lord is real. And whatever He said in the Bible is the truth, because it worked for me." And I ask you, are you a witness of Jesus? Do you really being transformed in your life? Does the Word have made something in your life that you're fruitful of the Bible? You're fruit of the Bible. That the Holy Ghost really gave you testimony that you're a son or daughter of God. Because that's what makes us Christians. You know, it's people that they was born in Christian homes. And sometimes they know the word, but they still have this slavery mentality. I can do this. I cannot handle this. My marriage doesn't have any solution. These men or these women never going to change. Are you telling me that God cannot change the mind of somebody? Are you telling me God cannot pay your debts? I am a living testimony of a man, 19 years old, who got married this woman, almost lost his family, and I became saved at the age of 26, and I've been pastor for 23 years already. Because we have a living God who can make changes in everybody's lives. And I don't mind if your son or your daughter is in addiction or is an alcoholic. I don't mind how far he lives. God will save him. God will rescue your daughter. I will raise them even from the dead to be saved, because we have a good God who loves us so much. You want to clap your hands? Put your hands together for Jesus with all your heart. Your matrimony has an answer. Your family have an answer. Your life has an answer. But you really be committed to Jesus. You cannot read the Bible and say, oh, it's the Bible. I'm going to live another life in my house. That's not Christianity. Christianity is to live what the Word says. Because you are a son of God. You got to understand that these people, a lot of them was born in slavery. For 400 years, different generations was born over there. And we coming from a slavery mentality. Christianity is not about having a pink color life. That's not Christianity. Christianity is about the same life everybody face. Debts, economically, family issues, relationship issues, all that kind of life. The rest of the world, they live the same kind of life. We have to face that life because we are in this world. And while we are in this world, we got to face those things. But you got to understand, we have hope. We have faith. And that's what makes us more than a conqueror. Because when you have faith, you believe in those things that ain't happened yet. But you live it like you it's now. And then when you live it, you can survive and be more than a conqueror. You can go beyond your experience and be something else that you were not before. You feel weak, but when you feel weak, He perfects His strength in us so we can face those things. That's what the Bible says. We got to get rid of that slavery mentality, my brothers and sisters, because we are the church of Jesus Christ. We are the answer. We are the light. We are the salt of this earth. Not only to share the gospel, it's also for ourselves. Because you got to understand, salt, I love salt in the food. You can see I love to it, right? I'm Mexican, you know. I can get a nice tortilla, get a steak from the grill, cut it in slices, put it in a tortilla, put some guacamole, some pico de gallo, cheese, melt a little bit, some hot pepper, juicy steak, and fresh. Mm. 1 second. I love to eat. But sometimes you're eating and you're missing something. And the first thing you got is salt. And you put some salt. A lot of people, they love to eat salt. But salt, you put it in the right measure, it makes all the flavors to come out. That's the salt is for. So if you're the salt, because you have the Bible and you have the faith, all the flavors in your character so show up. Because you are the salt of this earth. And wherever you go, the kingdom will express. And then you can put light and joy and love wherever you go. And I ask you, Your family feel happy when you get home, or they got nervous? When you get to your job, oh, here he comes, Octavio, wow. Well, I don't like him, but he's always happy. He always have a joke and make me feel right. I don't like him, but it's okay. Or they feel, oh, here comes this guy. You know, the attitude. What are you expressing in your life? 400 years they've been a slavery. Let's go Exodus 13, verse 19, please. I'm sorry, I didn't see at what time did I start. You don't mind? I'm on vacation, so I don't mind either. Exodus 13, 19. Look what happened. He's taking these people out of Egypt. 2 million people, almost 2 million people. And then he says, verse 19 and 20, he says, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Sukkot, they camp at Etam on the edge of the desert. You got to understand this. Joseph believed in God, and you know the story. He suffered a lot of things, but he maintained his integrity, and God put him in the place or the purpose he was born for. And he became the second most influenced man in Egypt. But when he dies, he didn't want to stay in Egypt. He don't care how much God used him. He don't care how much he loves the people and protected to bring them and give them a safe place. He wanted to get into the promised land. So he told the people of Israel, listen, I'm dying, but I have a promise. And my promise is that one day I will be in a promised land. So don't leave my bones here. God has promised to me, so I want my bones to be taken to the promised land. So when you leave, and one day you're going to leave from here, take my bones with you. But 400 years passed by. 400 years. How long have you been waiting for your promise? And you feel discouraged because you don't see anything. Because you don't hear anything. This woman waited for me 3 years. And while she's waiting for me and giving me testimony, when she really changed, believing the Bible, you know, if I arrive to my house, I know I'm going to have inconvenience with my wife because I've been drinking. I check in my clothing because all the perfumes, all the women have been around. I check in my money, and I knew I'm nervous because I know my wife is going to get mad with me. I get up at 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm arriving 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Where were you? That's the first question she's going to make to me, right? Why you didn't call me if you were working? Something like that. So we got nervous. So we arrive, and we have problems. But when your wife changed and became Christian, you arrive at 1 o'clock, say, are you okay, honey? Yeah, why? No, I was worried about you, but are you okay? It's okay for me now. She's crazy, right? These Christians, they dumb. You know? We can abuse from them. And they don't say anything. I can go outside as long as I want. And sometimes, because I'm super hungover, he makes this special dish we make in Mexico so I can sweat and get rid of my hangover. That's a good. Keep on going, honey. Keep on going to the church. Go. Said, you got to come with me. No. That's for old ladies and kids. Forget about me. I'm okay where I am. But for 3 years, he gave me testimony. I know sometimes he prays like, God, or you take him with you, or I will send it to you. I know. I know she did sometimes. I know that. Because sometimes we really abuse of the testimony that Christians are giving to us, especially me. So if she didn't care, I really didn't care, you know what I mean? It's not nice to say now, but that's the way I was acting before. But when you give testimony, because she has a promise, she fought for 3 years. But when I became Christian, God has changed in my heart so deep that 1 year after I was serving him as a pastor. Because I knew he was real. How many promises you have from God that you feel that he hasn't fulfilled in your life? Promises that he gave you. Maybe the transformation of your marriage, the transformation of your spouse, the transformation of your family, that your family gets saved, or in your job to have a better job, better income. And then you're starting to doubt because the time passed by and you don't see anything. And then you feel that maybe God is not real. Maybe God didn't tell me that promise. But do you know it's a scripture that says that he accomplished the desires of our hearts? So if it's only my desire, it's something that I dream about. If it's nothing wrong, he says he's going to do it for me. So I can handle that promise too. Say, God, you one day will fulfill this promise that you will accomplish the desires of my heart. And I keep on going, I keep motivating, I'm still believing because now God will do it someday. Joseph waited 400 years. Well, he was dead. Come on, he was waiting. Well, he was resting in peace. Okay? But suddenly, understand this. There's 2 million people coming out of Egypt. Pharaoh is back there. They have all the struggle with the plagues. Now, Pharaoh, for the last time, he changed his heart. They decided to go out. They get released. And now Moses said, hey, wait. We're going in this direction. He says, why, Moses? Why? Because God has a promise to fulfill. And he told me I have to take the bones of Joseph. So he moves everybody over there to go and get those bones. Even those generation didn't know Joseph. Those generation even didn't know the promise. They never heard the promise. But God fulfilled his promise even the time passed by or you even forget about it. Because I don't care, or God don't care who remembers or not. Even sometimes you've been forgetting the promises that God has given to you. But if he told you a promise, he will fulfill it because he is God. He is not a man to lie or the son of a man to repentance. He will say it and he will not do it. He is God. He's holy and when he said a word, he kept that word for you. But I want you to think for 1 minute. This generation said, really, Moses? We're running away from this guy. He's evil. He's going to try to kill us. And now you tell me I got to go there just to pick up some bones that somebody who dies, I don't know, 400 years ago? He's not even my family. Give me a break. But if you read the scripture beyond this, he said that he went there, he got the bones, they encamped there, spent the night. But you know what's the most strange thing? That suddenly God spoke to Moses and says, listen, wake up and turn around. You can see in the next verse. He asked them to turn around again. Imagine moving 2 million people around. Kids, how you call it, chariots, horses, donkeys, sheep. And God told them, move them around. It's like when, this happened in Mexico, okay? I'm preaching about my example, my testimony here, right? I don't know if this happened because Don is a good pastor. I'm not that good. So in Mexico, where I was doing my building, we're building our church over there, and we were working in a certain area, and then I'm praying. And we haven't finished this part of the building we're building, and suddenly the Lord spoke to my heart and says, listen, I need a kitchen. Build the kitchen. Can you believe when my people talk, when I told them, stop building this. We're going to start investing in this. They go, what? Focus, pastor. Focus. You're spending money on this, and now you're going to move the money over there, and this is not complete? Come on, pastor. Pray fast, because I don't think that's God. Because God, when you do something, he will fulfill it. So, you got to move here. And no, we cannot move that way. We're wasting money, you know? I don't know if this happened over here, but that happened in my church. And my elders come and tell me, Pastor, are you sure God told you? You got to understand, to have a board of elders, it's hard. You have elders here? Who's an elder here? I'm so sorry, guys. I'm so sorry. It's hard. Why? Because I'm very different from my elders. I think different from my elders. I make mistakes that my elders don't do. But they different from me. And they do mistakes different than me. So we have to become a team. And in order to become a team, Pastor, is to build trust, confidence, respect. And the only way you can do a unity in the elderly team, because the church is being ruled by the body of elders. And I'm not talking the pastor doesn't have an authority. I'm talking a pastor as an elder. Because as you read in 1 Peter, Peter says to the elders that are in that city, I don't know the name in English, say, me as an elder, I tell you this. Because he was an apostle, because he was an elder too. So when you rule the church as an elderly corp, you're going to have differences. The church, sometimes you don't understand why the elders decide something or the pastor decided something else that you will do. But let me tell you, your work as a member of a church is to follow the anointing, not to understand. And I'm not here to preach about Don, just because that's what the scripture says. All these people, they were moving to one place to get these bones, and suddenly Moses told them, turn around. Moses, what you ate last night? What kind of revelation is that? I told you not to eat at McDonald's. It's too much grease for you. But they didn't make any questions. They just said, okay, let's go. If we got to go, let's do it. So they turned around, and then God decided to put it in Pihahiroth. That's the name in English. I'm sorry. And here is the ocean, here is the sea, here is the desert, and they trap. Don't you feel sometimes that what you're dealing is like a trap in your life? You cannot get away from there. That is very hard. And we cry out to God and say, why, Lord? Why are you doing this to me? But the scripture says that God told to Moses to turn around and be there. Because the Pharaoh will think they trap. The desert make them be trapped. Because the desert of our lives that we've been living make us feel trapped. We feel that nobody loves us. That we're lonely. That we never overcome our addictions. I don't know here, but women in Mexico, well, at least in my area, when they got divorced or they don't have a couple, they rather to give their life very easy to someone to feel that they have somebody and feel love. But they gave their life so easy to someone that they don't value them. And at the end, they leave them again. And they feel more discouraged. Because they don't understand that men would like to conquer. We like to conquer the mountains, to game a game. And when more effort it takes for us, more we value what we conquer. I don't know if this makes sense to you. And so when the woman in this time, they're giving their lives very easy to have sex. Men have sex and rock and roll and for free with no responsibilities. So if I don't have any responsibility and I can have you and it's okay for you, so it's better for me. And men doesn't get mature. Because what makes the men mature is to value things. Starting thinking right things and hard experiences that we live. That's what brings you maturity, because that brings you wisdom. So, you know, here they are. And they feel rejected. They feel like, come on, Moses, you brought us over here. You know, wasn't enough tombs in Egypt so we can bury there. And now you took us over here. They saw the plagues. They saw the column of clouds and the column of fire. They saw all the firstborns killed. They saw the power of God. Now they're blaming Moses. Who took them out of the Egypt? Moses or God? Who saved you? Jesus or your pastor or your elders? Who saved you? The church of Jesus. So don't blame it unto the church. Don't blame it unto us because we are an imperfect human beings with a different anointing than yours and a different role. But we're still humans. We don't understand sometimes what God is asking us to do, but we do it because we believe it's God. That's it. We can have more faith than you. We can have more maturity than you. We can have more knowledge than you, but we are the same as you. Just a bunch of humans serving God. And this guy were over there, you know, enclosed in the desert with the water. The army of Egypt is coming to you. And you know, it's like sometimes you feel like all the problems are coming against you, that you feel that the company is so in debt that you feel like, how am I going to get out of here? But God did it on purpose. He put you in that situation that the same did with Jesus after he get baptized. When he got baptized, he came out of the water. People in him received testimony through the dove and said, this is my son. But then it says in Matthew that the Holy Ghost took Jesus to the desert to be tempted by the devil. Because he knew he has the strength and the wisdom to defeat the works of the devil. If you're in that position today, it's because God has telling you, he knows your heart, and he knows you can conquer that area of your life. And if you keep on going, if you can keep on going in an effort and believing and in faith, you will see the glory of God. But we have to believe, my people. We really have to believe. And if we go to the chapter 14 here in Exodus, listen what it says in the verse 2nd. I'm wrong. In the number 12. You there? It says, and this is my old Bible, it says, is not this the word that we died tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. You understand what it's saying? They rather to live without hope and faith and serve their own passions and emotions that took them to the place they've been slave and suffering, rather to open their hearts and a faith to live the new life that Jesus has given unto them through the words and the commands and all the decrees that he has for our lives. My brother and sister, the life out there is tough, but it's not unbreakable. It's hard, but it's not impossible. Because everything is possible through our Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to believe. That is what we have as advantage in our lives, that we have faith to defeat the works of the devil. So when he spit on your face that the marriage is not going to change, you can tell the devil, oh no, it's going to change, and it's going to change for better. When you think that your son or your daughter, you feel like they're not going to change, let me tell you, we have a Savior who was tempted in everything but not committed any sin, so he can pay in that cross and get deliverance of my son or my daughter. When I have the most difficult problem with my daughter grew up in a Christian house. I'm going to close with this. Sorry, I'm going to take 10 more minutes. It's okay for you? Will you give me 10 minutes? That's 20 minutes. Okay. My daughter, she wanted to live like she wasn't a Christian. She wanted to have free sex, booze, you know, all the things that we did when we were young before we became Christians. And I told her she cannot do. I said, Daddy, what are you going to do? You're going to stop? I said, no, honey. You have to stop it. I cannot change you. God can change you. But it depends on you to learn the easy way or the hard way. But while you're living with us, you cannot do these old things. And she said, are you getting rid of me? You're throwing me out of the house? I said, no. It's your decision. While you're living here, your mother is the woman I have to protect. And you as my daughter, I have to protect you while you let me. But if you don't want to follow my rules that protect you, that put limits on your life to be better, then you're moving out of my umbrella. So I cannot do anything. But it depends on your question, your answer. He said, well, I will leave the house. Don't do it, honey. You're going to be in deep trouble. So now I'm leaving. And she decided to move out. She already had everything planned with a boyfriend, where she's going to live, how she's going to make money, everything. Everything was settled down. Because sometimes we prefer to live that kind of life than the peaceful and joyful life that Jesus has for us. Because we don't really understand what be free is. And be free is not to do whatever we want. Be free is to have the chance to really live an abundant life, in mature, in growing, and developing the best of us to be better for God, for our family, and the people around us. That is a really free life. Be productive. Live in integrity. And see the next verse. Then Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, and still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will shew to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. We pray every day for our kids, but during that time, I was praying one day, and the Lord spoke to me those words. And I said, what do you want me to do, Lord? It's not in my house. I cannot give him advice. I cannot tell her, you know, counsel. I cannot do all those things. Yeah, but I want to fight for you. So he gave me a strategy. And every night, I went a half a block where she lived. And she lived in this little house. You got to understand, his boyfriend was a marijuana and cocaine addicted. He was drinking booze. So he was an alcoholic like I was. And she lived in this little house with another kid that they used to get drugs to. And I saw her, not physically, because I was there in my car at night with the lights off. And I saw her in her bedroom, nervous, because she never had that kind of experience before. You know, and I felt that she was suffering, like when some of this guys in drugs is going to try to get into my bedroom. And I saw the fear that she was feeling, and I was praying for her. I did that for months, 1, 2, 3 times a week, praying, decreeing that God will heal her, that she will, he will make her recover her mind like the prodigal son, that he will feel like he will live a better life in their parents' house, that he was living there. And I was declaring all those words to my daughter, you know, in prayer, and binding the power of the devil, and tell them that he doesn't have any power over my daughter's life, even if she make the wrong decision. But you got to understand, I feel sad. I feel like, you know, pain in my heart because the suffering she was living, she didn't, God didn't give me my kids to live that way and suffer. I'm a father. One day my wife asked him, what do you do when you're going out at night? And I said, you want to know? So I took her in my car and we drove over there and we did the same. Let me tell you, my daughter came back to her home. She separated from that guy. She had a baby. I have a beautiful six-year-old grandson now. She's now at a church. This guy became saved. Now she's serving a church. But because she decided to come back to her home, she decided to do the things the way God teach her. She had to do it before she make that wrong decision. Now that she's living and having a kid, she came back to her parents' place and we allowed her and we helped her, we built her, we healed her. And when this guy tried to get in contact with her because her grandson, we allowed her to do it. I had this conversation and said, you can get in touch with him, but I don't want you to come to my house drunk or stoned. I want you sober every time so my grandson can see somebody to respect, a father he can admire, someone who he can speak with. And I started to give him this kind of words for him, and for 3 years we fought against all this addiction that he had, and now he's one of our deacons in a church. Because God fights our battles if we believe. God can do all things, but we really have to give him the chance to believe and stand for until we see the glory of God. But the next verse is the challenge that I want to give you today. Because in the verse 15 it says, and the Lord says unto Moses. I want you to turn around the person beside you and say, they're talking to you. And the Lord says unto Moses, wherefore Christ too unto me, and speak unto the children of Israel, and they go forward. You know what he's saying is, Moses, didn't I show you in the fire and bush what you have in your hand? Says, yes, Lord. Didn't I show you that I can make miracles with a stick? Says, yes, Lord. So why you feel like afraid and like you don't have any authority or power? Raise the stick and divide this ocean. Take your authority and divide this ocean and make my people go through and dry to be protected, and we can destroy the works of the devil. Because Christianity is about living in the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. People with authority, with people with power. That's the way Adam was living before the sin. And that's why Jesus had to die on the cross to release us from our sins, so we can recover the authority and power, so we can take everything the devil has stolen from us and take it back, because it's our family. They are our kids. It's our marriage. It's my spouse. And I don't care what the devil says to you, what you're challenging right now. You have the authority to get rid of the devil, and you have the authority to take it back, because God is with you. Amen. The point is, this morning, is if you really believe. Close your eyes, please. And hear the story. Sometimes we don't know what we say. And in Mexico, they said that the sons and daughters of the pastors, they're the evil ones in church. They're the worst ones. And a lot of people used to declare that to our kids. And my son David, he got so beat up by all those sayings and all the criticism that they made, because he was the pastor's son, that he was looking another image in his life. And even he was a great student, he's starting to quit, go to school. And for 4 years, we didn't know what to do. And one day, God made me know Pastor's son, who came up here close to Maryland to study at Master's Commission. And it was just a thought in my brain that says, you can give him a tool if he learns Spanish. Maybe he can work in Cancun or someplace else to find his own way. But you got to understand, 22,000 of 1 year school for us is almost half a million pesos. And I said, Lord, what am I going to do? And he made the same question to me. What do you have in your hand? And I said, well, I have like a 3,000 or 4,000 pesos. That's all I have. You know the preacher who said I can multiply that? You know the preacher that said that I have more than enough? So do what you got to do because I'm with you. My son came to master's commission. I speak with the principal. They allowed him to be here for only $300. He studied 1 year. He learned English. But he didn't want anything in the ministry. He didn't want to serve God. But I had a promise from God that me and my house, we will serve him. So I declared that over my kid's life. And with the time, he met a missionary from the United States. He got married. He lives here in the United States. He's doing it very good. He's attending the church. He's honoring God. And he's honoring his family. Because no matter what we need to do, they still are kids. And we still have a God more than enough. So this morning, I'm here to tell you, I don't know what you're dealing with. But if you've been doubting, because not enough to know the Bible, it's about to have the revelation and live it. God is telling you, trust me. I'm still your God. I'm still your daddy. And I'm still with you. And I would like to pray with you. If someone was doubting or dealing something so strong that they think that God cannot, or they've been doubting that God cannot help you, I would like you to stand up there in your place. I would like to pray for you. Is somebody this morning? If you feel discouraged, I would like to pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't open your eyes. Don't open your eyes. Let the Holy Ghost to minister to us. The altar is open. If someone wants to come to the altar, it's open for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I see the Holy Ghost is moving in you. I can see this. Don't doubt. It's God in you. The God of glory. It's Jesus in you. The most merciful God we have. And He is asking you, what do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand? Raise it and let me show you my glory. Don't matter if I ask you to turn around and change the things that you've been doing lately. Change your paradigms and let me show you my glory. You've been asking me for a revival. You've been asking me for a keros, to live a keros. You want to leave that. You've been willing to do the things differently that you've been living it today. Because my mercy is new every morning. If it's new, it's something you have never done before. Don't be afraid. I am the one who's going to make it. still in peace because I will fight for you. Just stay still. Obey my word and I will bless you. And I will show you I'm real. And you will be healed and you will conquer this thing that you've been dealing with. Father, I thank you this morning for every person that is here. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the challenge you put in your hearts. And thank you for allowing me to use my testimony to edify the lives so they can believe that these poor Mexicans could do it. They can do it with all the opportunities and all the culture that they have, because where you have them is the place exactly where you want them to show your glory and your light and your power. I declare that every man and every woman in this room takes the authority and the power of the Holy Ghost to face this thing they've been dealing with until they conquer it, until they destroy it and get rid of it. And when they get the victory, they will glorify your name, not only giving testimony so their brothers and sisters knew about it, but to glorify your name and keep it on high in their lives. I bless them this morning, and I break every curse in their family that they've been dealing with. Those curses that they've been chasing them, those curses as a divorce or a lack of communications or not being expressive, that they think is a lack of character, but they've been happening through generation that hurt their spouses. I destroy that curse in the name of Jesus, and I declare the freedom, and I declare the love, and I declare your presence to heal those areas in their heart so they can build solid marriages, solid families, and families who worship you and give their lives to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I declare that the tree of life is a church of Christians, not church members. Church or assembly or congregations of real Christians who worship you with all their heart, their mind, and all their strength. In the name of Jesus. While you're saying like that and I'm praying, can the group play I Believe? Can they play I Believe? Yeah, still believe. It's okay. Can we stand up, please? I want to finish with this. Still with your eyes closed, please. Don't lose this moment. The Bible says, don't rush yourself to come out of the presence of the God. Don't rush yourself. What you've been feeling, that's with church about. Sometimes it's an experience to scream, to cry, to yell out. But sometimes it's to be just here in that tender presence that God has for us. Healing our hearts, building our faith. Just assuring His presence in us so we can walk in confidence. Yeah, please. Can we sing it very tender? Can we sing it, you know? I don't know how to say it, very low. Softly, softly, please. Can you put the words on the screen? Because I don't know the words, but I like it.
We believe.
Amen. It's a decree we have to make in our lives, right?
In this time.
my